Appreciate that. If you'll go with us to Luke chapter number 15 this morning, Luke chapter number 15. And I appreciate the singing about the blood. Amen. And we know the devil doesn't like the blood. Thank God. I'm glad we have a bloody religion. Amen. And that's offensive to this world, this religious world. But just like the song said, if it wasn't for the blood, we wouldn't get in. Amen. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And I'm thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 15, if you'll stand with us this morning in reverence to the Word of God in prayer. And I mentioned last Sunday, eventually I'm going to get this old boy in Luke chapter 15. We're going to get him back to the house. Amen. But we're still going to stay down here in the far country for a couple more Sundays as the Lord would lead. And so I just want to be obedient, because you never know what God may be doing in somebody's heart. There could be somebody that is thinking about the far country. And you see, and if I preach something and it hits you, listen, you can't go home and say, well, Brother Gravely preached that because he knew this. I've been preaching out of Luke 15 for a long time. It's just, you know, I was telling my wife about this yesterday. A lot of times people, when they hear preaching, not everybody, I'm talking about some, they hear the preacher preach something and it kind of hits them. They automatically think, well, who told him something? But I'll tell you how it used to be. People were more spiritually minded when the preacher hit something. They knew that's the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, if somebody told me something, and nobody has, and I'm just telling you that, I'd preach it anyway if God put it on my heart, not to single somebody out. But I'm telling you, if God speaks to you, if something, if the preacher nails something and you've been doing it, first thing you ought to do is ask yourself, is God speaking to me? Because he very well is, I promise you that. I would never target nobody. Say, why did you say that? I don't even know. I just had it in my heart. And so maybe the Lord's going to deal with some things this morning. I don't know, but I want to be obedient to God. Luke 15 and verse number 13. The Bible says, and not many days after the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of thy word and speak to our hearts this morning. God, only you know what's in the hearts of people. Lord, I don't even know what's in my own heart. It's desperately wicked, and above all, it's deceitful. And Lord, I pray this morning that you'd just speak to all of us. Help us to be obedient to your will, and help us, God, to do what you'd have us to do. And we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to preach this morning on this subject, on a closer look at the far country. A closer look at the far country. And I want to give you three things this morning concerning the far country here. Just a closer look. You say, well, preacher, you preached about the far country, and that is true, but you can never say too much about this subject this morning. And so I want us to take this verse of scripture and a couple verses around it and just take a closer look at the far country. I want us to consider three things about this far country. Last week, I asked a lot of questions about the far country, and by the grace of God, tried to answer them the best if I could according to the Word of God. But this morning, let's look at three things, consider it, and let's consider three things about this far country. I'll give you these three things, excuse me, and then I'll be through. Number one, I want you to note this morning what is absent from the far country. What is absent from this far country? Now, we know the far country represents the world. Amen. I'll tell you, if the flesh can't destroy you and if the devil can't get you out there, then there is the pull of this world. Amen. The Bible said in 1 John 2 and verse number 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And then the Bible says this in verse 17, and the world passeth away. You ought to remember that. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. Whatever lustful desire that you have today, or that I would have today, you can mark it down. One of these days, it's going to pass away. Amen. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen. You see, what that means is doing God's will brings eternal things. Amen. Doing my will and living
out in the world is only temporary. It'll be here today and gone tomorrow. But what is absent from the far country? What is it that this boy, when he gets down to the far country, he finds a lot of things in the far country, but there are some things that are absent. In other words, there's some things out there in the far country that is not back at the farm where he was at. And can I tell you, friend, if you go out to this world, there's some things out there in the world. They may have a lot of things that attract us, the flesh. They may have a lot of things that may draw you in. But if you get out there in this world, there's going to be some things that will no longer be in your life. Amen. You see, the father is absent from the far country. When this boy gets down to this far country, he may have some friends. I don't know. He spent his time in riotous living. But we find that he gets out there, he may have some friends. He may have some acquaintances. I'll tell you who didn't go the far country. The father didn't go the far country. And what that means is that if you go to this world, you're going to have to walk away from God. You're going to have to walk away from your father. Amen. That doesn't mean you lose your salvation, but what it does mean, you're out of fellowship. As long as this boy was living out in the far country, guess what? He had no communion with his father. He had no access to his father. He couldn't fellowship with his father. I'm telling you, when you get out in this world, what you do is you cut that access off. I'm telling you, prayer line's cut off. You can pray, but you're praying to the ceiling. Amen. There's no fellowship. There's no communion with God. I'm telling you, I don't want to go to the world because I need the Lord in my life. Amen. And some people get out in this world and they just get further and further away from God. The father is absent from the far country. And then the family is absent from the far country. You see, not only did the father not go to the far country, but the elder brother didn't go to the far country. And so when this boy went to the far country, he was not only cutting off his father, but he was cutting off the rest of his family. He didn't fellowship with his own brother. And that's what happens to people when they get out of the will of God and they go out into this world. They not only cut God off, but they cut off the church. They cut off their brother and their sisters in Christ. I'm telling you, when people go the world, they've got to find another crowd to hook up with, another crowd to run with. You hear me and hear me well this morning. If you go to out in the world, you'll walk away from all the people that have been a blessing to you in your life. Amen. Now, he said it right this morning. God's people has invested in all of us, haven't they? You think about the time. You think about the prayers. You think about the tears that your parents and that your pastor and your pastor's wife and that godly deacons and Sunday school teachers have invested all the hours of labor and study to get a lesson together to try to give you some biblical instruction to help make our life better and make it easier. Amen. I tell you, when I look back through life, and I'm sure you'd be the same way, I have to say thank you for all the preachers. And thank you for all the godly Christians. Thank you for all the people that prayed for me and that loved us. Think about all the people that have been a blessing in your life. But when you go to the far country, you cut those people off. Amen. You see, when people get out of God's will, some are too afraid to blame God for fear of what may happen to them. So they blame the church. I mentioned this a few weeks ago. That doesn't even bother me anymore. In fact, I think that's par for the course, don't you? When people walk away from God, you can go ahead and chalk it up. They're going to say something bad about the church. I don't take that stuff personal. They're going to say something bad about the preacher, probably. Maybe not all, but you'll hear some stuff out there. And you say, what do you do with that? Nothing. I don't pay that no mind. It doesn't keep me up at night. It doesn't make me bitter. I don't even get mad at them, because the reality is, no matter what they say, their actions is speaking louder than their words. Amen? Now, they can give you a list as long as my arm as to why this person did this and this person did that, but the truth is, we're still here. We're still serving God, and we've all been hurt somewheres in life. Isn't that right? But listen, that's no excuse to walk away from God. Amen. That's no excuse to go out into this world. But the truth is that when people get out in the world, listen, when they break fellowship with God, to be around the family of God is a constant reminder that they're not where they need to be at with the Lord. Amen. So they have to go somewheres else. They have to get away from what they know is right. This boy, his father is absent. His family, his brethren is absent. I want to say, I thank God for the church, don't you? I don't want to get away from the church. I don't want to get away from the people of God. And the farm is absent. He walked away from the ground that he had been raised on. And may I say something about this farm? This was good ground. Amen. I'm telling you, this farm that he lived on had everything he needed in life. It was the Father's ground. It was good ground. It was blessed ground. What I mean is this boy didn't have to, listen, he worked on the farm, but he didn't have to pay for anything. As long as he was at home, guess what? All his needs was provided. He had to work, but what a privilege to work for a father that had taken care of everything that you needed. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. Living for God is work. Amen. And we're all to be workers for God. And we're all to be a part of God's. We're His workmanship. And we're to be a part of His work. And we're to labor in His vineyard. But can I tell you, it's good to be saved. And it's good to be in the Father's house. This is good ground. I want to tell you, I wouldn't trade places with the world this morning for a good old-fashioned church to go to. I'm glad I got a good church to be a part of. I thank God that we can come and hear good Sunday school teachers teach. I'm glad to hear a good choir sing on Sunday morning, hey, on Sunday night and Wednesday night. I thank God for a good Jubilee. Hey, I'm not dreading the Jubilee. I'm looking forward to the Jubilee. Now, when people start backsliding, they always start talking about the Jubilee. I've heard that down through the years. Now, I know nobody here would do that this morning, but I'm going to go ahead and just nail that real good. If you're dreading next week, you might ought to get right with God. Matter of fact, let me back up. There's no might to it. How could anybody that is saved and says they love God and love the Bible and love the church, Brother Danny, how could they dread going in here and preaching all day and singing? Now, you might have to work a job and can't come all day. But I'll tell you, I'd want to come to church. Amen. See, I'm not looking to get out. Can I get an amen? In 2026, when a lot of people are looking to get out, thank God I'm looking to get in. Amen. I'm looking for the high winds of heaven to pass next week. I'm telling you, I don't want to come in here Saturday night and Sunday morning and all of us have to deprogram and it be weird and awkward. Oh, no. I tell you, we're going to pray together as a church and we're going to pray the power of God. Amen. We can't do it, but He can. Amen. We're going to pray for liberty to flow from breast to breast. And we're going to worship God and hear preaching because we need it. Amen. I'm telling you, this generation needs some preaching. I'm telling you, listen, I like good singing. And thank God we're going to have some good singing. And I'm telling you, the day and hour we're living in with all the complacency and apathy and all the sleepiness that's going on in our churches and the deadness and the dryness. If there's ever been a time when we need some men of God to pin their ears back and just drink about 5 gallons if I don't give a good glory rip, amen, and just preach, amen, it's the hour we're living in. I'm telling you, friend, that's the only thing going to knock the deadness off some people. It's some good old-fashioned preaching, amen. And brother, I'm telling you, we need it in this hour. Our churches are dying by the dozen. But I want to say, you hear how quiet it is in here. Brother, I'll never be quiet in God's house. Amen. I'm telling you, it's not quiet before church and it's not quiet after church. It ought to never be quiet during church. And I like good testifying. You know that. But if the only time you get excited is when you testify, you need to learn how to worship God. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, make your mind up when you go to church. You want to amen the singing, amen the preaching. You say, why? You don't got to feel nothing. Amen. It's just right. Amen. And let all the people say amen. That's how you get help, is you get involved. You participate in every bit of the service is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not being mean. I'm just trying to help you this morning. I'm just trying to keep us from going into a grave, amen. You know what a grave is? Thank God, or rut is. It's a grave with both ends knocked out of it, amen. I'm telling you, God's been too good to any of us to just sit around and just look at each other. I'm telling you, you're in the house of God. You live in America. You got a King James Bible in your lap and Jesus in your heart. You ought to raise your hand every now and then and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my sorry, never dying soul, amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm not with the beer drinking crowd. I'm glad I'm not with the dope smoking crowd. I'm glad I'm not with the dance crowd. I'm glad I'm not with the prom crowd. Thank God I'm glad I'm in the church of the living God this morning. Amen. I appreciate Him, don't you? But this boy, to go to the far country, he had to leave the farm. He had to leave the family. He had to leave the father. He had to leave. The food is absent. He gets down there and he doesn't have anything to eat. And what brings this boy home is bread. When he comes to himself, he's not thinking about the love of the Father, even though it's there. He's not thinking about a good roof over his head. What he's thinking about is how that the servants have enough bread and to spare, and he perished with hunger. You see, he was starving literally to death out there in the far country. And I want to tell you, if you get out in the far country, you'll starve to death. Amen. Listen, the devil will put you on rations. Amen. And this old boy, as long as he was at home, the table was spread. I'm telling you, listen, God spreads the table here every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But it's up to me and you to pull up to the table and to partake of what God puts there. I can't make nobody get hungry. I can't make nobody partake. All we can do is spread the table, and it's up to us to partake of it. Now, I grew up in a generation where you had to clean your plate. And when you went to public school, there was none of this buffet-style stuff. It was all prison formats. You know what I'm saying? You had four lunch ladies. They had biceps bigger than truck drivers. Amen. And you lined up and you went through there. They didn't ask you what you wanted. They slopped it on there. Amen. And just since you, all of them had an attitude, it seemed like, and a mole, amen, on their face somewheres. And you just went through the line. You didn't dare ask no question. I mean, you looked at, you just went through and got your plate and read your number and went on down. And I remember growing up in the day and time when, you got them little milk cartons, amen? And on the back of those milk cartons were missing children. Y'all remember that? And you'd have to look on the back every day and see if you recognized one. I mean, it was a scary thing to go through the lunch line back then. I remember my parents saying, son, you ever say that, you ever do that, your face will wind up on the back of a milk carton. Amen. Every child knew what that meant. That was universal. And it didn't hurt us one bit, by the way. Amen. And they meant every word of what they said. But I'm telling you, that was the day we grew up in. But you know what? We went through the line. There was no asking, do you like this? Do you like that? No. It was put on the plate and you were supposed to eat it. And here's what I found out. They wasn't no snacking later on. They wasn't no getting, you ate what was there. You just went hungry. I remember sometimes turning my nose up at something and my mom would say, well, son, that's what we got. If you get hungry enough, you'll eat it. Is that right? That's what's wrong with this generation too. Man, I'm preaching, I'm probably going to preach on everything this morning. But you know what it taught? I didn't like mashed potatoes growing up. And I'm talking about they wasn't instant, neither. I mean, my mom would take and peel them. She'd cut them up in a bowl with water in it. And then she'd put some butter. And I don't know what all she put in it. But she'd take, that little thing with the squiggly things on it, And she'd just sit there and mash and mash and mash. I reckon after she mashed all that together, she thought, you're going to eat it whether you like it or not. And she'd put them potatoes on there. And I said, I don't want to eat potatoes. And she's like, son, you're going to sit there. I don't care if they get cold. You're going to sit there and eat. And y'all act like I've been mistreated, but I wasn't. She said, you're going to eat them too. You got to sit there till you eat them. And I remember, man, I'd eat them things. I'd make patties out of them, I'd make a building out of it, whatever. I don't know how that helped it go down, but, sit there and play with it till you get it down somehow. Do you know what? I like potatoes today because I got hungry enough. And the more of them I got fed, I thought, they don't taste so bad after all. You say, what? Well, it's force-fed for a little while. Sometimes preach them. That's what I feel like you're doing. Some people sit there and they just like, they've wandered far away from God and they're not interested in preaching. But you know what? Just go ahead and open your mouth this morning. You may not like everything, but we're just going to shove it in anyway. And you go ahead and swallow it. You say, why? Because if you swallow enough of it, guess what? It'll make you a better Christian. It'll strengthen. I didn't like them potatoes, but they still did the job. Amen. They still helped me to get stronger. They still helped me to grow. And one day I said, man, them things taste pretty good. I mean, we'd smash them, boil them, fry them, bake them any way you could think of. Sometimes I got to where I'd even eat them raw. Amen. When she'd cut a little piece off, you say, what is that? I mean, I just developed an appetite. Amen. And what I'm saying is, God takes good care of us. I don't always like everything that's put on the table, but if you'll just go ahead and eat it, it'll make you a stronger Christian. It'll help you along life's road, and it'll help you go on for the glory of God. But out there in the world, the food is absent. The fellowship is absent. The finances is absent. The favor. No one cared for this boy out in the far country like they did on the farm. And then the freedom is absent. You notice that? He just wanted to be free from his father. Get out away from his parents. Get out away from all the rules. You ever heard that? I just don't like all the rules. Something wrong when you don't like the rules. Because there's always going to be rules. Get a driver license and go down the road. You'll find out there's rules. They're put on signs. When they say stop, they mean it, don't they? When they say 55, they mean it. That's rules is what that is. We live in a world. We got to have rules. If we don't have rules, guess what? We'll all just go to pots. Amen. We'll just all get out of bounds. You go to your job. Guess what? There's some rules on that job. There's always rules. But this boy didn't like his father's rules. And these rules was not to make his life worse. It was to make his life better. Amen. He thought, I'm just going to get what I can. I'm going to leave. Never say goodbye. Never say thank you. I'm going to go to a place where there is no rules. And I've got total freedom. The only problem is that lasted for such a short season of his life. Only one verse. And you know what? He finds himself out in a field again. And now this boy has more rules than he's ever had. You know, that's what the devil will do to you. If he can get you out of church, if he can get you away from the church God put you in, if he can get you away from all the things that your parents and that others have instilled in your life that you know is right, you know it's right. But you just don't want it. It just don't fit your narrative right now. If he can get you out there, he'll make you think, well, life's going to be better. Just do inventory. It's never been better for anybody. There's no freedom living in the world. I saw a man the other day. I felt so sorry for this man. I'm not being critical. It broke my heart. No doubt he was strung out on drugs. You could see it around his eyes and everything. His body was all tattooed up and it just face and neck and down his arms. I'm not being critical of people like that. If God say, we want God to save him. And this dear man, I saw him standing there and all of his teeth were gone because probably of the drug abuse and things in his life. He was very skinny and just frail looking. You could tell that it had taken a toll on the drugs had taken a toll on his body in such a way. And he was doing his best. I was in his place of business, and he was doing his very best, I could tell, to try to be normal, to act normal. But he was overdoing everything that he was doing. And I thought when I walked out, that's not freedom. That's bondage, friend. You take a beautiful young lady sitting in church with good parents. If the world could get that beautiful young lady, they would destroy her life. It wouldn't take 3 years. She wouldn't be a beautiful young lady no more. Drugs, alcohol, men, all kinds of sin that maybe she would never have planned on getting into would destroy. You see, this young man is bankrupt in every sense of the word. He's bankrupt financially, mentally, emotionally, morally, socially, spiritually. All these things are absent now in his life. Why? Because he went to the far country. You know, I know a young lady who married a man out of the will of God. I preached in the church for over 10 years. And I remember when she started dating this young man, he came to church. Her father and mother tried to talk her out of it. Tried to tell her that this is not for you. But she just thought that they were trying to run her life. And so she ran off and married this young man. Well, they came back to the church there. The pastor told me about it, said, pray for them, said, it was a mess. And the mom and dad did everything they could to be good to this. And they've done everything they could to be good to this family. I mean, God has blessed him financially, the dad. And so
He helped them out. He helped them get on their feet. I mean, the story just goes on and on. They have three children now. But she has to take care of those children. He won't work, won't take care of her. Can you imagine the stress that puts on a mother with three children worrying about how she's even going to make rent? So that's what the far country will do to you. Just get away from that church. Get away from that leather lung preaching. Go down and find you some contemporary mess where nobody ever says anything about anything, and everything is just, you know, every Sunday's just a wonderful Sunday. And I'm going to tell you, every Sunday is a wonderful Sunday. But nobody ever preaches anything that ever offends in any way, because they don't care about your soul. They don't care about your spiritual well-being. All they care about is just you coming and putting money in an offering plate and having a number on the board and sending you. They don't care if your life goes to shambles, amen. But I'm telling you, the people that care about you the most are the people that love you enough to tell you the truth, amen. I appreciate that, don't you? I know a young man that's in eternity today. Motorcycle running 121 miles an hour. Can you imagine that? In a rage, in an anger. He lost control of it. Went out into a field, broke that motorcycle in half, ripped his body in half. And he woke up in hell. But that young man wasn't always living out in the world. There was a time when that young man went to church, when he sang in the choir. He said, "Preacher, why are you preaching on the far country so much?" For these reasons. For these reasons. People sit in old-fashioned churches and they grow up, and it ain't always young people. But one day they get a wild hair and they decide they're just going to go crazy. We're seeing more of that today, aren't we? And I think the more of that we see, the more we have to preach like this. To warn people that, hey, I'm telling you, you get out there, you may very well lose your life out there. What's absent in the far country? What is actual in the far country? What is actually out there? Because when you're on this side and this is all you know, if you're not right with God, you start peeking over the fence saying, you know, what really is out there? I mean, what am I missing? Well, let me tell you what's out there. You can just see it in the text. There's a wasteful life out there. The Bible said he spent all. You go the world, I promise you, you'll spend all. Mentally, emotionally, financially, spiritually, any area you want to go down, morally, you'll spend all. It's wasteful living. That's what's out there. What am I missing? I'll tell you what you're missing. You're missing a wasted life. You don't believe that? Just walk up to somebody that's lived out in the world any length of time and ask them, did you lose anything? What's the losses versus the gains out there in the world? I'll tell you what they'll all say. I didn't gain anything living out there in the world. I lost everything precious. I lost things that I'll never get back. The Lord has forgave me and God has given me grace. Oh, but there's regrets. There's things I lost in the world. Hey, young person, don't go the world. There's some things God give you that the world wants to take away. They want to take it away from you, but don't you give it to the world. Amen. I remember years ago as a young preacher hearing preachers use this illustration. I don't know who it was. But I remember the illustration of some young ladies that was taunting another young lady. Because she was living godly. She wore a long dress and she wouldn't go out to the world. And these other young girls was making fun of her, and they were calling her names. I don't remember what names they were calling her, but one day she got tired of it. These girls live wild and they lived out, and boy, they bragged about their living. I remember the preachers telling the story over and over, and said one day she just stopped and she looked at them. She said, "You know what?" She said, "I can be what you are any day of the week. But if you live to be 100, you can never again be what I am and what God has given me." Young people, remember that. Oh, that beer-drinking crowd, that crowd that has sold their flesh out to the world and lived a perverted life and lost their virginity and went out and slept with everybody, around the block. I'm going to tell you something. You're sitting here with your purity this morning. I'm going to tell you something. You could go do that any day. You could become them any day. And that's what they want. They want you to get drunk. They want you to shoot up dope. They want you to go out there and not keep yourself from marriage. They want you to go out and pervert your life and all that. You could be them any day of the week. But I'm going to tell you, they can get right with God. They can live to be 100, but they can never be what you are sitting here today. Amen. They can never be what you are sitting here today. Don't give yourself to this world. It's a wasteful life. It's a wicked life. There's things that you do in the far country you never want brought up again. You never want to talk about. You never want anybody to know. It's shameful things that you're ashamed of, and that thank God for the blood of Jesus, and thank God for the grace of God. And it's all, I'm telling you, it's all under the blood, but I'm trying to keep somebody from going down that road of wickedness. Amen. I'm telling you, listen, if you don't have, there's things that the world will try to make fun of you, but because maybe you don't know about certain things. I'm talking about filthy things and perverted things and worldly things that are wicked, and maybe they use terms. And then they snicker and laugh because you're so innocent and don't know what that is. I'll tell you something. Thank God you don't know what that is. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm 50 years old and I've heard some terms that I didn't even know what those terms meant. And guess what? I didn't go looking to find out what they meant because I knew that whatever it was perverted. And I'll tell you, I thank God I never knew what that was. Amen. My mother. This is just the grace of God. My mother, even though we weren't saved, she had a conviction. None of us were saved, but she had this conviction. We could never see nakedness. And I'm telling you, if we was at somebody's house and they wanted to watch something, the first thing she'd say is, "That got nudity in it." You got to remember, we weren't Christians, so we'd watch things. But my mom would say, "Does that have nudity in it?" And if they said, "Oh, it's just got a little bit," she'd say, "Boys outside," and she didn't watch it. And I said, "Mom, they just said it got a little bit." She's like, "I don't care. You're not watching that. You're not seeing that." I tell you, after I got saved, I thank my mother that she kept us innocent, that I didn't know about certain things. I go to public school and hear things. I didn't know those things. Because of a mom that said, "No, you're not looking at nakedness." Hey, that's still right, isn't it? We got people sitting in church now thinks it's okay to look at nakedness. That lost mom and dad. Mom said, "You're not seeing that." You say, "Why didn't she have that?" Because she saw what it did to other members of the family and how it messed them up. And she said, "You're not looking at that stuff." And I'm telling you, I think it was the providence of God. I didn't know I was going to get saved. I didn't know I was going to be a preacher. But I thank God. I battle enough stuff at this flesh. I battle enough things in my mind. I thank God I don't have to battle those things that I never saw those things, those perverted things. I'm telling you, listen, I know this morning the Holy Ghost of God is moving in this service. I know God is working on some people this morning. I'm telling you, if you're looking at some things you got no business looking at, it ought to put fear deep down in the recesses of your soul. Amen. It ought to scare you to death this morning. You got a good wife. You got a good husband. Now, if you have and you've got it right, thank God, forget it and go on. But I'm telling you, if you're looking at something this morning, you won't get by with it. God will uncover it one day. I don't care if you got on a plane and went to Australia and looked at a bad magazine. God will uncover it one day. You better confess it and forsake it. What is it? What's actual in that country? A wicked life, a wasteful life, a worried life. This old boy's worried down there, isn't he? He loses everything. What's he going to do? You get away from God, you'll worry more than you've ever worried. A worldly life, a wild life, perversion, poverty, problems, pressure is all that he actually found when he got down in that country. He found poverty. He found pressure like he'd never seen it before. Problems that he didn't know how to solve. You get out there in the world, you're going to have more problems. You say, "Preacher, I got problems." Yeah, but you got a God that'll help you through your problems. You got a church family that'll pray for you. But you get out there in that world, I'm going to tell you something. You just think you got problems right now. Get away from God. You'll have more problems than you've ever had, and you'll have no answer for the problems you have. What's actual? What's absent? And then finally, I want to give you this thought. What is achieved in the far country? What did this boy achieve by getting everything the father gave him and just walking away from him? What did he achieve? Well, in verse 14, devastation. He spent all, and there rose a mighty famine in that land. Desperation, he began to be in want. Humiliation, he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him out in the field to feed swines. Starvation, verse 16, he would have fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. And isolation, no man gave unto him. You see, that's what's achieved when you walk away from God. You'll have one devastating thing after another. You'll find yourself in desperate situation. There'll be times where you'll be humiliated. There'll be times when you'll starve to death spiritually, and in every other sense of that word, you'll starve. The devil will starve you out in isolation. One day you'll look around and there'll be nobody. I preached the first funeral I ever preached. I remember the first funeral I ever preached was for a man that was about 46 years of age. And this man lived a rough life. He lived a really rough life. And at his funeral, I thought how sad this was. There was two people that attended this man's funeral. It was his brother and it was his sister. And both of them had came from out of state to attend this funeral. And I remember preaching that funeral to those two people there. And I thought to myself how terrible it would be to live 46 years in the same area, die, and nobody even came to his funeral but two people. You see, you get out there in the world will leave you high and dry. The devil will let you get so far out on a limb by yourself, and then when he's got you so far out you can't hardly get back, he'll walk away from you. He'll take away everything that's good. Oh, listen to me. I'm not just preaching to young people. I think there's a lot of adults today that, you know, you start out like this, you just kind of start getting away from God little by little. And the further you get away from God, you stop caring about those spiritual things. And for long, you can just sit in church and nothing bothers you no more. It just don't bother you. I asked Brother Gravely preaching. He preaches that stuff all the time. I've heard it. But you don't listen to it. Well, you hear it, but you don't listen to it. And if you're not careful, and you don't do something about what I'm saying this morning, now listen to me, here's what's going to happen. I know this is going to happen because we've all seen it happen. We're going to walk down this aisle one day and there's going to be an empty spot where you're sitting right now. Don't let that be you this morning. Oh, I'm telling you, I thought this morning as I was praying, don't raise your hand, but I thought this morning as I was praying for the service, I wonder how many of God's people, I wonder how many of God's people gets up on Sunday morning and even takes the time to pray for the service. I'd be afraid. This is the best church, in my opinion, this is the best church in the country. And what I'm about to say, I'm not saying this as an indictment. I would be afraid to ask you this morning for a show of hands of how many people got up this morning and even prayed for the service. Did you leave your house and not think to pray? You know why we don't have the power of God like we used to? I'm telling you, you can't have power without prayer this morning. That choir can't bring power. This preacher can't bring power. No prayer, no power. And I tell you, you know, this is the difference. This is the difference. You can have good services, but you won't have powerful services if we don't pray. We'll have good services, good singing, good Bible preaching. And we'll go home, you know, and we'll be like, that was a good service. But I'll tell you the difference in a good service and a powerful service. Powerful service moves us to do business with God. And good services just sends us back home feeling good about ourselves. Powerful services makes people uncomfortable when they're not right with God. And good services, they can sit through them all day long. I tell you, we need God's power, don't we? And I tell you, I say all across this country, I say it, you can ask anybody. I say all across this country, Bible Baptist Church is the best church. Those are the best people I know of. And I love every one of you this morning. I love you. And I believe you love me. But oh God, I tell you, there's people here this morning. You say, Brother Grav, you got people in mind? No, but I'll tell you, I know this morning, these people sitting in these services this morning, I don't know what in the world it's ever going to take to wake you up and get you right with God. Maybe you are awake. Maybe you just don't care. Maybe you just don't care. You've just come to the place in life you have determined that it doesn't matter what I say. You're going to do what you're going to do. No matter what I say, you're going to do it. Well, I'm going to tell you this morning, I'm going to tell you it's because I love you. You can do what you want to do. But there's a high price you're going to pay. And you're going to remember. I tell you, this kind of service might even offend somebody. I'm not trying to do that. God in heaven knows that. I'm just trying to obey God this morning. Might even offend somebody. But I'd rather take a chance of offending somebody. And maybe somebody get help is just come in here and preach a little sermon and let's go to the house. I can't do that. I cannot do that this morning. Because I do care about you. I want to see you get right with God. Please get right with God this morning. Please. You know, this church, we could have revival. Wouldn't it be good to have revival for next Sunday? I tell you, we could have revival. I do not want to come in here next Sunday and it be tight. I don't want to do that, I tell you. I'd just like for the power of God to fall all next week. And not just because we're having Jubilee. Because when Jubilee's over with, we need something that will stay with us, don't we? We need something. This is a great church, good people. But I'd be wrong to tell you this morning I'm not concerned for the spiritual temperature of even this good church. Because I tell you, the best of them, Brother Danny, the best of them are struggling today. And I think it's because people are not hungry like they used to be as a whole. You know, I'm not saying that about everybody sitting here, but we got to get hungry for God. And we got to get serious. We need people that are not right with God to get uncomfortable so they'll do something. We need God's power. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus. Lord, I hope I hadn't said too much. I've just tried to bear my heart. I didn't even know I was going to say all this, Lord. I didn't know all this was even in there. But God, I pray in the name of Jesus. I don't know. It might only be one person, God, that needs to get right with you. Honest before you, I don't have anybody in mind, but I know that virtue has went out in this sermon this morning. And I know, God, that you've shook the foundation of some people's soul. God, I pray in the name of Jesus they'd find no peace and rest till they get right with you. I pray they'd be miserable. Not because I want them miserable, but I pray, God, they'd be so troubled. They know if they're right with you. We all know when we're not right with you. Lord, bless this invitation this morning. While we stand, if you need to use the altar, would you come on while you sing?